Blog Talk Radio.
You know, that's just the way we need it to go. How's everybody doing? My name is Brian Scott. You are listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. Joining me today from the Milwaukee Mile up in beautiful Wisconsin, Mr. Tom Marquez, Mr. RJ Cunningham. Tom, how are we doing? How's Milwaukee doing, treating you guys?
Oh, we love Milwaukee. We went over to Polly's Pub and Eatery for lunch, had some great all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. This is really a great track, and we're having a lot of fun. And we got here early. We got here early with the USAC teams, and as they unloaded, and Star Mazda was on the track practicing as well. And it's a good opportunity. This is an older track, and really it's one of the oldest tracks that IndyCar has been running on. And it's a beautiful weather up here in Wisconsin, and we're going to make sure we get some cheese, RJ, before we leave.
Yeah, we passed about, seven or eight places on the way up here. And it was really nice because when we came up the evening, even though it was storming, we missed all the Chicago traffic. We missed 95% of the Milwaukee traffic. Our buddies from Australia are stuck in traffic. I've learned that you do not drive in rush hour traffic if you can keep from it. I guess the Aussies don't know when rush hour traffic is, but anyway, they're having fun too. We'll see them up here tonight, and I'm really looking forward to a good day.
Well, we're going to have a full show here for you on The Balance. First hour, well, we're going to talk about a little bit of NBA Finals action that just wrapped up during the weekend. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. We are going to be talking with Mark Timmons of LADodgerTalk.com coming up at the bottom of the hour. You don't want to miss that. Of course, plenty of stuff on Major League Baseball. Heck, we might even get a little bit into the U.S. Open that started today. And, of course, the NHL Finals have also wrapped up. And then we'll go to the top, back up to the top of the hour. And RJ Cunningham and Trackside Review Radio will be on the air. I want to thank our sponsors of The Balance: Mid-State Window and Cleaning, Sam Pierre Chevrolet. We also like to thank new sponsors as All-Tuned Lube. They are both a new sponsor. Of course, Trackside Review, the magazine, Marquee Solutions, and Fastlane Cycles, all great sponsors here for The Bounce. We want to thank each and every one of them. Well, Tom, we're going to start things off with, it's been the hot topic all week. The NBA Finals have just wrapped up. The Dallas Mavericks won Game 7 by the score of 105-95 down in Miami, capping off their big win for getting the NBA title. And Tom, we go back. This was a big thing about whether it was going to be Dirk Nowitzki, was it going to be LeBron James, who was going to come out with questions answered as we ended these finals. In the end, Dirk's got the ring, LeBron still has the questions, and we still got another year to go to find out if the Heat can wrap everything back together again.
Well, and that's the whole thing. And if you would have read the article on the Balance, where we talked about sorry about that, RJ was but where we talked about the Balance, where all the trouble that went in to get the rings for LeBron, it just didn't happen. You had Bosch, you had Wade, and you had LeBron James. And the little fairy tale that I put on the balanceonline.com, for those that didn't read it, basically says that the young king was lured away from his hometown by a couple of trolls with the promise of some rings that he dreamed so much about. I do want to say this, though, Brian, that myself and only myself, I danced alone last Thursday when I said, do not discount the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk has what it takes to make it happen, and they will go into Miami with the momentum by winning last Thursday and going in and winning the championship, Brian.
Well, one of the things about the Dallas Mavericks that they have going for them, and it's something that's been noted throughout these NBA finals as they played as a team. This team that the Mavericks lost to the Heat back in 2006, oddly enough, in six games, with some of these guys were very familiar with that team. They played together as a team. One of my things that I noticed with the Miami Heat, you got to realize this team has only been together playing on the floor for a little over 9 to 10 months. Now, that's baby steps. They're mm-hmm. great superstars. They're great players. But to play as a team, and that's really was their downfall as far as where many people said, well, they didn't play together as a team. Well, they haven't been really together all that long. You got great superstars. You got great talent. But to play as a team, that takes time. That takes experience. And as I mentioned on ScottSpot.me, baby steps always involve a few face plants. You're going to fall. You're going to hit your nose. You're going to hit your head. And it always involves a few of them. Time will tell next year whether the Heat learned from this series, this season, and moved on. I believe on the line we have Mr. Josh Elmore. Josh, how are we doing today?
I'm well. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing good. Your thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks beating the Miami Heat in 6 games?
First of all, Tom called. And by the way, Tom, how's the weather in Milwaukee?
Hey, the weather in Milwaukee is beautiful, actually. We came in, and it was raining, and when there might be some rain. There's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow and Saturday, but Sunday looks like it's going to be a nice day. But it's actually pretty beautiful, pretty nice here today. We're actually walking around with short sleeves, and the sun's out. So, but like anything else at a racetrack in early June, it's very warm.
Now, if I can get back to the NBA Finals, I read Tom's blog. It's a great blog. Check it out. I also have a new blog up on the website. But as far as the NBA Finals go, I don't think Chris Bosh belongs in Miami. And if I could boil it down to one player's fault, it's Chris Bosh. He had a great season series for a team like Indiana or Golden State that's improving. Chris Bosh should be a heck of a player. But he's the wrong fit in Miami. They need to have Wade and James and have to know James. Bosh doesn't make any sense.
Josh, thank you for being here, but I kind of agree with you talking about what's happening with the Miami Heat. He says Chris Bosh is not the answer there. That could be very, very true. I think it does still go back to this. That squad is not playing as a team. It's not been a team, whether it's been how do you feed the ball. Everybody's get a LeBron James, he's still the same player he's been since he's come into the league. He drives to the basket. He spots for jump shots. To ask him to change his game to a post-up game, that's just not his thing. That's like asking Shaquille O'Neal to step back and stop popping 18-footers when he was playing. The question is, as Josh so aptly puts, what needs to make the Miami Heat a better team? Is it a different type of offensive philosophy? Is it a different type of – do we need more players? Do they need to package Chris Bosh and a few others and try to get Dwight Howard out of Orlando? I don't know, but I think Josh makes a good point. When you're looking to put together a team, I don't believe they currently have current components that will make up a very good team.
Well, go ahead, Josh. I thought we had lost you there before due to you being outside or something. Go ahead, Josh.
I would agree, but I don't think Dwight Howard's going to end up in Orlando. I think he will end up with the Lakers or do not rule out the Indiana Pacers acquiring Dwight Howard. Moving on from the NBA Finals for just a second, the reason I bring up Dwight Howard, if Frank Vogel was going to be the guy here in Indiana, he could have been the guy by now. So a lot of local speculation, I want to get your feelings on this, Tom and Brian, is that Frank Vogel will be the guy. If Bird wanted Vogel to be the guy, he'd be the guy. He could have been the guy a month ago. He could have been the guy in March. He could be the guy right now, but he's not. There's a speculation that Phil Jackson is on his way to Indianapolis to secretly interview for the Indiana Pacers show. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. What I do know is if Vogel was the guy, why isn't he the guy? What's taking Bird so long? I actually think it'll be somebody who will bring, say, Dwight Howard in here, give it to Danny Granger. Granger's a great offensive player. But what would you think of sending Rush, Hansborough, and Granger to Miami for Chris Bosh or to Orlando for Dwight Howard?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, and I apologize about that, Josh. You were cutting out a little bit, and I was as far as Frank Vogel goes, I think this is his job. I think that the Pacers want him, but I think also they have to go through the proper vetting process and the proper process of making sure that they've gave everybody the opportunity that deserve the opportunity to interview for the job and to sit down with Larry Bird and to come up with a good decision on who it is. I still think that Vogel is going to be the coach of the Pacers. And Brian, maybe you have some different thoughts on that. We certainly don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The NBA is over. NBA championship is over. So we want to make sure that we have enough time to put everything in. But going back to the question of how the Heat can win a championship. I mean, really, I think we just have way too many egos, and that's really what we saw when we saw Shaq and Kobe out in Los Angeles. There's too many egos in one court at one time. It's the same thing that we've seen happen with the Boston Celtics. We see it happen in the Yankees. We see it happen in a lot of sports when you have so many superstars who are the center of attention. There has to be the ability for everybody to play together as a team, and I think you nailed that on the head, Brian. And you can go ahead and address the Vogel question, too.
Well, I don't know if Frank Vogel is going to be here with the Pacers. The Indiana Pacers players have already stated they would like to have Vogel back. I think as with anything, when Larry Bird and David Morey are sitting down and asking Frank Vogel, what are your plans? It's quite one thing to become an interim head coach and just try to get through the season, do the best you can do. There's no pressure on you. You know, if you do worse, then you'll say, well, you know, I did what I could. If you do better, hey, the guy's got a shot. I don't think Phil Jackson comes to Indiana. I don't know why he comes to Indiana, for one thing.
Yeah.
I think Phil Jackson is fun. As far as trading some of these players and around, I don't think Chris Bosh goes anywhere, to be honest, mainly because I think Pat Riley will give Bosh, James, and Wade a good year, as I was mentioning. Take a good full off season. Let's get an offensive game plan. The one thing that everybody's going to have to sit down is rededicate to basketball. This year it was a lot of, oh, look on the big screen, let's do the big pep rallies. It's time to rededicate to basketball. Does that mean Eric Spoelstra's job is safe, but they maybe bring in somebody else offensively, maybe another assistant coach to tweak an offensive set to better utilize these players? I think that's more likely. What the Pacers are going to do, Danny Granger is going to be the face of the Pacers. He's not the sexy pick. He is not the Reggie Miller that was flamboyant and everything, but the guy produces. The question is, what is the Pacers' identity? That is something they've been fighting now ever since the days of Reggie Miller and all that. They've really never had a big, big identity of who they're going to be. Are they a running team? Well, O'Brien wanted them to run, but then found out, well, we don't really do that all that well. Rick Carlisle, when he was in Indiana, you saw what he's just done with the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to do it at half-court set. Well,
right.
A lot of the players that were involved with the Pacers back with Rick Carlisle didn't like that. A lot of the players that were involved with Rick Carlisle were here are no longer here either. So I kind of think that was one of the guys that the Pacers ended up losing that I was really sad to see let go, Carlisle.
I agree with that. And real quickly, I know we're up against a break here, Brian, but I think Larry Bird has plenty of options to choose from. And I can't say that Vogel will be the coach. He's certainly a great option. He certainly proved that he can take the team into a playoff. So that's got to be something that Larry Bird is looking at when hiring a new Pacer coach. But, I mean, there's a lot of good candidates out there. I mean, we talked about Van Gundy before. And Calvin Sampson, even I don't know that they'd ever bring him back to Indiana. I guess that maybe he's got some other job offers. Lawrence Frank and Mark Jackson, he might even, you know, pull somebody from the broadcast booth and take a look at them. And let's not forget, there's a ton of good college coaches out there ready to make it up to the next level. So I just quite quite frankly think that there's a lot of candidates to choose from. Larry Bird needs to and has to make the right decision on the coach this time, because we've talked about it on this show before. This Larry's job, Larry Bird's job, is his job to keep, but at the same time, it's also his job to lose. And I think if he makes a bad decision with the head coach, that it could be the end of Larry Bird, and that's just a personal opinion there. And Brian and Josh, I know we're up against a break, but that's just my thoughts on that.
I'm going to give Josh, you got 60 seconds. Go ahead and give you your final thoughts on this.
I predict the head coach at Indiana faces is somebody nobody's talking about at the moment. He's from Indiana. He's secretly campaigning for the job. I think Frank Hamblin, the longtime Phil Jackson assistant, the guy who Tex Winners created the triangle offense, Frank Hamblin perfected it. He's won 5 championships as an assistant with Phil in Chicago. He's won 4 more in L.A. He wants the Pacers job. As far as Danny Granger goes, you can make him the face of the Pacers if you're fine with losing in the first round of the playoffs year after year after year after year. There are winners in sports. There are guys with great stats, and there are losers in sports. Granger is a loser who has great stats. He's never proven he can be a winner. If you want to build a team,
and with that, we are done with the NBA for another year. When we come back, we are going to be talking about, well, we're going to take it all back to the old ballpark. We're going to be talking about Major League Baseball right after this. You're listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Backside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank some of our other sponsors that make it possible to bring you this fine show every week. That's Mid-State Window and Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Make sure to quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message like others. They do windows. Also brought to you by Alltune and Loose, located at 7920 West 10th Street and 6340 Rockville Road. Alltune and Lube provides quality repairs at a great prices and delivers outstanding service is our highest priority. Visit our state-of-the-art facility and let our ASE highly trained automotive professionals service your vehicle. From basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work, ATL is your one-stop total car care center. Also want to thank Sam Pierce Chevrolet. Make sure you go and see them having their big tent sale located at State Route 67 in Daleville. You can call them at 765-378-1100 or visit them on the web at www.sampierchevy.com. Once again, they're having their big tent sale all week this week, located across from the Taco Bell on State Road 67. On the line with me, Tom Marquez from the Milwaukee Mile in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Josh Elmore also on the line. We're going to move from the NBA. We're going to head into Major League Baseball, something we haven't talked quite a lot about this year. And I'm going to open the floor right up to Josh, because Josh, one of the things I've looked at this season, we talk and look about surprises. Of course, Cleveland Indians, probably one of the biggest surprises in baseball. But watching the way the Boston Red Sox started this season, everybody was really ready to write those guys off after a horrendous start. And what do you know, we're about a month away from about 3 weeks away from the All-Star break, and there's the Red Sox sitting on top of the American League East Division.
Certainly been a great, great comeback story for the Boston Red Sox. They started 2-10. Right now we're 2 games behind Philadelphia for the best record in baseball. But we're talking about Major League Baseball. You know, there's one player who's impressed me far more than any other player in Major League Baseball this year, and that's Joey Votto. He doesn't have much protection behind, but man, can that guy swing the bat.
Votto is still back on pretty much the same route he was last year. He's on route for possibly another MVP. And you talk about no protection. One of the guys, though, Votto still can swing the bat. Caught in this weekend series sweep of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who we'll mention coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mark Timmons from LADodgerTalk.com will be on the air with us. Jay Bruce has still been putting up some monster numbers, and one of the things I've seen Dusty Baker do that we haven't seen a whole lot, normally you've got a left-handed hitter in Votto, left-handed hitter in Bruce, and you like to split it up by putting that right-handed bat. Both those players have been hitting so well, you started seeing Dusty Baker actually put both left-handers back-to-back, 3 and 4 in the batting order. Normally you would see Scott Rowland in a four-hole spot. So both of those guys have really been swinging a hot bat. But let's also let's open this up. Who else has been a big surprise in baseball this year? Tom, what do you think?
Well, I tell you, as far as teams go, I mean, obviously the Red Sox, and I know that's Josh's team. They have turned it around. The Red Sox have really came from the bottom back and forward, and are really in a good position where they're at now. Again, here we are in the National League Central. The Reds and the Cardinals are battling it out as well. And the Reds proved last year, and that's no big surprise to me this year, but the Reds proved last year that they can make it to the end of the thing, but can they make it to the big dance? We'll see. But really, one of the biggest, if you want to call it a surprise or a surprise turnaround, not that the Red Sox doesn't have the talent. The Red Sox have always had the talent, but they started out the season in a very, very rough situation. And you know, there's some really good prospects out there in the farm team. We talk about the Indianapolis Indians, and there's some really great players out there that are coming up for the Pirates. And the Pirates are starting to develop a pretty good farm system, which is something that we haven't seen. Something happens. They're here in the Indians, and then they move up to the Pirates, and something that they get traded off, or just a number of things. So I think the Pirates are starting to develop some good AAA players. I mean, and also, I mean, you've got Mike Trout, which is a fantastic AAA player who's making a move up there to the Angels, and you know he's. There's a lot of good young prospects that are coming up that we're seeing here in the last couple of years, Brian, in this AAA farm system that really people are starting to take a notice that some of the really young superstars are just right around the corner, Brian, from being in the major league.
Well, and that's what you hope to get out of your farm system. And the big proof that the Pirates have got some good young talent, they've been developing well, is you only have to look at what the parent club is doing. When was the last time we saw the Pittsburgh Pirates above 500? As of today, they are 34-33. They are a game and a half behind Cincinnati in fourth place in the National League Central. They've won their last three. They are ahead of the Chicago Cubs. And, I mean, once you get past Pittsburgh, Chicago is 11 games back. Houston is 14 games back. Those two guys you can just go put out to pasture because they're not going to contend. But probably the most competitive division in baseball looks to be coming out of the National League Central. The team that, I mean, we talk about Reds, we talk about Cardinals, they battled down to the wire last year. The Milwaukee Brewers are in first place, 39-30. They have great pitching. They've got good offense. They field the ball fairly well, and that's something that usually comes back and bites teams. If you don't field the ball well, it's what pretty much carried the Reds through last year. They were an excellent defensive team. They did things well. Milwaukee does a fairly good job of fielding, and when I start looking at surprises, to me, still the number one surprise, the Cleveland Indians. They are even in the loss column with the Tigers at 31. Detroit's played a couple of more games. They're at 38 and 31. And the Cleveland Indians are 36 and 31. We talked about AAA and looking at the Pirates and what we have here in Indianapolis. For those that have followed minor league baseball for a while, especially the International League, the best team that's been the past two or three years in the International League, the Columbus Clippers. Columbus Clippers currently own the best record in the International League. Who are they, the farm team?
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Indians.
Absolutely. And that's
and if I could interject real quick, speaking of the National League Central, there's really no bad team. I mean, Houston's at the bottom, but you talked about Pittsburgh being 34 and 33. Look at Clint Hurdle. Every team he touches, he turns to gold. He took the nobody Colorado Rockies to the World Series, where they got swept, coincidentally enough, by my Red Sox. But Cincinnati's a great young team. Most of their players are, what, in their early to mid-20s? The Cubs are young. They're getting it turned around. The Brewers are young. Brewers are a different team than the rest of the division. They have to win this year because Prince might leave.
And that's right. And here's the thing. I mean, in the last couple of days, I've been getting a lot of Brewer news, obviously being here in Milwaukee. This is Brewer Town, and let me tell you, they love their Brewers right here. We were, like I said, we were at a little local pub for lunch today, and it's all Brewers. Everybody in there is wearing Brewer caps. The bartender's all excited about the Brewers. In fact, right here in Milwaukee anyway, I don't know so much about the rest of the nation or what the reality of it is, but right now, Brian, right here in Milwaukee, they're talking about the Brewers making a run for the World Series, and if they keep playing the way they have been playing, it's really exciting to see that they were able to turn things around against the Cubs, because if they weren't able to do that, they were obviously going to have a very tight schedule coming up, especially I think the Red Sox are coming up right behind them, I believe, on that. I don't have the schedule up on that, Brian. But the Milwaukee Brewers are in the National League Central, a team that is starting to make a move, and it's somebody you want to keep your eye on, especially for those of us that follow the Reds and the Cardinals. And so you're right. And you asked me what the big surprise is, and I don't know why I didn't think about the Cleveland Indians, because that is absolutely – I'm reminded of the movie Major League. They have just came from behind, and now everybody's starting to watch and pay attention to the Cleveland Indians. Now, can they make it to the World Series? I don't know that they're ready for that yet, but I certainly think that they can do some damage. And you mentioned the farm team there, Brian. The Columbus Clippers absolutely have some of the best farm talent out there, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Brian.
Well, one of the things we're going to take a look at, Milwaukee, do they have a shot at the World Series? Well, you look at your division leaders, as Josh Elmore's Boston Red Sox sit atop the American League, second-best record in the major leagues. In the Central, Detroit has that one-game lead over the Indians. In the West, Texas, probably no big surprise. What is a surprise, Seattle is only one game out in the West. If you look at the National League in the East, well, it's the beast right now, and that's the Philadelphia Phillies at 44 and 26, a 5.5-game lead over the Atlanta Braves. We just mentioned the Brewers. They're at the top of the Central Division with the Cardinals one game back and the Reds 2.5 games back. And out West, San Francisco, still out there at 39 and 29, a 2.5-game lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. When we start looking at these standings on our way forward, Josh, I got to think, Are we back to looking at a couple of Eastern Division squads as the favorites for the World Series?
I would say the Red Sox are definitely the favorite in the American League. We got the bats, we got the gloves, we got the pitching. You know, and I've never been a big Cincinnati fan. They got Homer Bailey, they can never get him straightened out. They got Chapman, who can throw supposedly 109 miles an hour. I've never seen it. They got Votto and Bruce. The Phillies don't impress me. They got great pitching. When they show up, Cliff Lee's had a few times this year. He just hasn't shown up. I'm actually going to call for a Red Sox-Red World Series. I don't believe they met in the World Series. What was it, 75, 78, something like that?
Some little World Series back in 1970. I tell you what, though, we're going to take a timeout. Hopefully, we will have, coming up on the right after the break, Mr. Mark Timmons, from LADodgerTalk.com. If we don't, well, we're still going to talk about the L.A. Dodgers. That's been a soap opera all year long. Now we're hearing whether Frank McCourt can make payroll or not, and we're going to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to The Bounds on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Brian Scott alongside Tom Marquez and Mr. Josh Elmore on the line. I want to thank our other sponsors of The Balance, Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Make sure you get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because unlike others, they do windows. They do quite a few of them. And so make sure you leave that message. Also want to thank a new sponsor, Alltune and Lube. They provide quality repairs at great prices and deliver outstanding service, and that's their highest priority. Visit their state-of-the-art facility and let their ASE-certified trained automotive professionals service your vehicle. From basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work, ATL is your one-stop total car care center. They're located at 7920 West 10th Street and 6340 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. That is Alltune and Lube. Also want to thank our new sponsor, Sam Pierce Chevrolet. They're having their big tent sale all week this week, located at State Road 67 in Daleville, Indiana. You can reach them at 765-378-1100 or www.sampierchevy.com. Again, Tom Marquez is at the Milwaukee Mile. Josh Elmore on the line. We've been talking about Major League Baseball, and on the line with me is Mr. Mark Timmons from LADodgerTalk.com. Mark, welcome to The Balance. And, boy, you've had a lot to talk about this past season with the L.A. Dodgers, haven't you? Hello, Mark.
Are you with us, Mark?
Well, hopefully we'll have Mark back here in just a few seconds. We want to talk about, as we said, going on through. Mark, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
There we are. We got you now.
All right. I can hear you.
Josh Elmore. Tom, it's been a very, very busy year for you covering the Los Angeles Dodgers from day one through today. How do you keep up with everything this season?
Well, the show hasn't been on the field, that's for sure. It's mediocrity at best on the field. And I guess the show is behind the front office.
Well, let's start then right with the front office. It's been the whole situation with the McCourts all year long. The past, 4 to 6 weeks, it's even whether or not Frank McCourt has been able to make payroll for the team. Now we learn that he's also still having, of course, pay Manny Ramirez his deferred money. Is it not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when Bud Selig and Major League Baseball step in?
That's not a given, you know. We're kind of a country when people are down, we like to kick them. And he's certainly down right now, and there's nothing good being said about Frank McCourt. Everybody is kicking him, and probably rightfully so in a lot of cases. But, you know, there's 6 to 8 Major League Baseball teams right now that are out of compliance with their debt ratios. In other words, they got too much debt for the amount of income they're coming in. So it's going to be real tough for Major League Baseball just to single out Frank and say, you're done, because he's going to turn around and sue them saying, wait a minute, what about this other team? What about these teams? You know, at least I spent $120 million on payroll, and they're only spending $70 million on payroll. So, and here's the 800-pound gorilla that's in the room. He has on the table a $3 billion 17-year contract with Fox that the commissioner's office has to approve, and they haven't. And, of course, the divorce looms in there too. So how this thing – and it includes about $300 million of upfront money. So, I mean, it's not cut and dried. There's a lot of things that can happen. And, of course, today we hear that the Major League Commissioner's Office has stepped up their investigation into what's going on, which means they're maybe looking around Dodger Stadium and seeing if there's – because McCourt has some different – corporations that own different aspects of his alleged empire. Dodger Stadium is a separate corporation. And so, you know, this is a weird web, I'm telling you.
As you go through and you look at what's happening up in the front office, the Dodgers on the field not having not the greatest season. They just come off of a 3-game sweeping by the Cincinnati Reds. They're 31-39, 9 games behind division-leading San Francisco. Players like to sit there and think that we can keep all that tuned off and focus on the field, but at some point, just the day-in, day-out circus, as you will, has got to affect the product on the field.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, whether they're human. And so they know something's going on. They hear different things. They hear whispers. They even, you know, maybe we're not going to be paid next month. Of course, Major League Baseball would step in, but, you know, there's a lot of aspects that come into play. Now, I think you also have to look at the team, though, and say, how many teams on the major league level could survive when you lose your closer, and then you lose your second closer, and then you lose your third closer, and then you lose your fourth closer to the disabled list? The Dodgers have blown 10 or 12 games, and when you lose your top four pitchers that are closers to the disabled list, there's not many teams that can survive that kind of jolt.
Right, and here's the thing that the question, and I don't want to keep kicking the Dodgers while they're down, but my question to you, Mark, and this is Tom, my question to you is, quite frankly, everything that I can understand about the Dodgers, they brought a lot of these problems on themselves, and we were talking, you were mentioning a little bit of at least touched a little bit about the lucrative TV contracts and stuff. Wouldn't that help bail out the Dodgers? Why is that not happening? And is it because that I think that the ownership just basically have had poor management and poor management of their money? Mark, we know that you run a business and you have a pretty successful business, but you also have employees that you have to pay and you also have to make right investments and so forth. Do you think that the Dodgers just quite frankly couldn't manage their money, couldn't manage their team, couldn't manage their payroll correctly?
You know, the answer is yes and no. I mean, you know, when you've got a big market team such as Boston or New York or Philadelphia, you know, the Yankees, they can go out and sign a player, and if he doesn't pan out, they'll just sign another one, you know. The Dodgers have had some bad signings, like other teams have. And, you know, I mean, they signed Andrew Jones, they signed Juan Pierre, they signed Jason Smith, and these guys were basically busts for the Dodgers. And they didn't have any room. I think a lot of these teams go out and overpay for players. I mean, look at Boston. They paid $146 million for Carl Crawford for the first 6 weeks of the season. His batting average was barely over 200, you know. So, I mean, you look at some of these teams, and it's just crazy the money that's going out there. And the Dodgers definitely made some bad decisions about payroll.
Josh, if I could interject for a minute, I'd like to take a different approach. I'm not like the rest of the national media who's going to keep bashing the Dodgers. I'd like to talk about some of the unpromising pitchers y'all have out in L.A. And maybe if McCourt's having a hard time making payroll, should he look to trade Kershaw and Braxton and some of those young pitchers and get some young, talented, inexpensive players back? Do you think that would help him make payroll and also maybe help make the future a little brighter?
Well, you know, number one, it's not a given. And, you know, if he tried to do that, I'm not sure right now the Major League Baseball would let him because they've stepped in and essentially taken control of the day-to-day operations. I think Clayton Kershaw is a pitcher that comes along once every 20 years, but we've also got another pitcher that just came up, and if you haven't heard about him, you need to remember this name. His name is Ruby De La Rosa. And his last start, he hit over 100 miles an hour in the fifth inning. And this guy has filthy, wicked stuff. I mean, it is knee-buckling pitching that you don't see very often. He could surpass Kershaw as the best pitcher on the team. So I think the Dodgers will be sellers very soon, but I would say that there's a few players like Kershaw, De La Rosa, Kenley Jansen that are untouchable. Guys like John Broxton, Chad Billingsley, they could be had for the right amount, and rightfully so. Andre Ethier, you know, and your first half MVP, I think, is Matt Kemp.
Now, Mark, you make a mention just a second ago. Of course, Major League Baseball has not stepped in yet to take over operations of the Dodgers, but are we led to believe that they are, as far as a look at how their process, how they work with other teams as far as possibly making trades to avoid, let's say, an old Florida Marlins fire sale. They've got Big Brother over their shoulder saying, you're not doing anything without our approval yet.
Yep, that's the way it is. I mean, anything over $5,000 or that's considered a major transaction has to have MLB's approval. So, I mean,
I apologize. And Mark, one thing that I wanted to get out to you, we were talking about mismanagement of money and poor management money decisions. Do you think, quite frankly, that Manny Ramirez was paid way too much money?
No, you know, I'm one of the few Dodger fans that was against the Manny Ramirez deal from day one. Very vocal about it. I mean, people threatened me, wrote me nasty letters. And, you know, I mean, look, you can't put perfume on a skunk and make it smell better. You know, you don't put lipstick on a pig and make it a cow or make it something else. And Manny Ramirez is a bad character dude no matter what you did to him.
We are with Mark Timmons from LADodgerTalk.com. We'll take one more look here. Is this year just basically survive? Just survive through the end of the season, see how things will work in the off season, or is there any kind of hope or feel that the Dodgers could still make some kind of noise with the remainder of this baseball season?
Well, I think by the end of July, I think one or two things are going to happen. Major League Baseball is either going to deny him the right to sign that contract, in which he's going to turn around and sue MLB, or they're going to let him ratify that contract. Right now there's talks going on between him and his ex-wife on a divorce settlement. And if they reach a settlement and Major League Baseball, within the next couple of weeks, if Major League Baseball lets him ratify that contract, he's going to be flush with cash. He's going to have a lot of cash. And, you know, one team comes to mind, that's the New York Mets. I mean, guys like David Wright, Reyes, people like that are going to be available. And, you know, the Dodgers have some good young players. They have some solid pitching that they're going to get back some pitchers to from the disabled list soon. You know, they're only 7-8 games out. Anything could happen. But the fact of the matter is it's not likely. And you know, I think the Dodgers in the net by the end of July will be sellers. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
That's Mark Timmons from LADodgerTalk.com. Look him up on the web. Fantastic stories and articles and information about the L.A. Dodgers, as well as baseball, minor league, Major League Baseball in general. Mark, thank you so much for joining us on The Balance.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Have a good day.
When we come back, we are going to be talking, well, we may talk a little bit more about baseball. We may talk a little golf. What thing you know, we're going to be talking about some good stuff until the top of the hour when R.J. Cunningham and Trackside Review Radio take over. You're listening to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Welcome back to The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank some of our other fine sponsors. Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because they do windows. They do quite a few of them. Make sure you leave that message. Also brought to you by Sam Pierce Chevrolet. They're currently holding their big tent sale at State Route 67 in Daleville, Indiana. You can give them a call at 765-378-1100 or visit them on the web at www.sampierchevy.com at State Route 67 in Daleville. Big tent sale going on all week. Also brought to you by Alltune and Lube. They provide quality repairs at great prices and deliver outstanding service is their highest priority. Visit their state-of-the-art facility and let their ASE-certified automotive professionals service your vehicle. From basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work, ATL is your one-stop total car care center. They have two locations, one at 7920 West 10th Street and the other at 6340 Rockville Road. That is Alltune and Lube. On the line, we've got Tom Marquez from the Milwaukee Mile, Josh Elmore. I believe Mr. R.J. Cunningham as well as we go through our final segment here on The Balance. My name is Brian Scott. I'm going to go and take a few moments here and turn the floor over to Josh Elmore. Josh usually has something to report here in The Balance and Trackside Review. So, Josh, I'm going to give you the floor and let you give us what you know today.
So let's start with last night, the Boston Bruins 4, Vancouver Canucks 0. That was a great series. Nothing's better in sports, and I want to get Tom and Brian and RJ's opinion on this if they have one. I don't think there's anything better, regardless of the sport, than a Game 7. The Super Bowl is great. The Super Bowl is a great event, and it may be the biggest one-day sporting event in the country, but it is not as exciting to me as a Game 7 in any sport because of the immediacy. Well, if you lose Game 7, it's done just like that. The same thing is true with the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl is a one-day game. Game 7, you've had six games to build up hatred towards each other, for there to be bad feelings. I think there's nothing better than a Game 7. Tom, Brian, you guys have any thoughts?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to have to, myself, and this doesn't happen very often, so I will go ahead and take a big slice of crow on this. I actually thought Vancouver Canucks would pull this out. So when we have seven games, are you referring to the hockey game, right, Josh?
Yes, I'm asking if you think there's anything better in sports than a Game 7 regardless.
No, I don't. Okay, I didn't know if we were trying to go back to the NBA because I didn't want to do that. But I wanted to make sure that but I did. I thought Vancouver had it in them. I thought they had enough Canucks in them to make it happen, but it didn't happen, and I'll eat the big crow on that. But more than anything, what's really disappointing to me, and the Canadians are pretty civilized people, and for them to be out there just doing some crazy, crazy rioting and just because the team lost is absolutely insane. But I agree with you, Josh. I think seven games does prove a real championship for sure on that.
RJ, I think you would sit there and say the only thing you think is better than a game seven in any sport is one car edging another by one one-thousandth of a second.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than close racing and you know, and sports and everything. The amount of
Well, I think we lost RJ there for just a second. So I'm going to sit there and say, Josh, yeah, a game seven, mainly because you've worked up game, you've gone back and forth. In game seven that you have, you know, that was a tight series. It was a very exciting series. It was a very tight series, very competitive back and forth. Might have had a blowout or something in one game, but in the end, that just meant that the team that got blown out came back the next night or so. And got the win. And when you get down to a game seven, some people say, well, you know, you just threw them all out in one game, player take all scenario. That may be true, and we may look at the football playoffs either in professional or college and say, you know, we're just getting down to that game seven. But the tension and the suspense and the excitement that builds throughout that week and throughout those six games to come down to the game seven, and all as a baseball fan, all I got to go back and is say Minnesota Twins, Atlanta Braves. Never been game seven in history, as far as I'm concerned. And it was a back and forth series, led up all to that. And Josh, I think you're right. Anytime you get that game seven, it's just something, you know, where you're going to be. You're going to be sitting there watching that game.
And that's absolutely right. Brian, I think that's what the networks count on, because they know when you, especially when, I think that the ratings were extreme. I haven't seen the final rating turnout, but I was hearing that it was one of the highest rated Stanley Cup watched games in all of NHL history. And Brian, you might have the stats to back that up, but that I believe wholeheartedly that it was Vancouver's possibility of winning the championship and it being a game seven. So I think that absolutely a game seven brings everything to the head. Now, do we need seven games to prove a championship? I'm not sure that we need seven games, but it does provide excitement for the fans, Josh.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Since I apparently had the floor, something else I wanted to get your opinion on is I'm a huge IU fan, and it's absolutely sick that every report that I read at a news story has Telvin Sampson getting that statistic job. So you're telling me he can destroy Indiana University, and he doesn't get in trouble. He gets a pay raise and a promotion.
Unfortunately, that is going to be how it works. Jim Tressel is going to probably find himself in the very same boat. The rules for college and the rules for pros are two different things. And in the pros, you know, you can sit there and go, well, you know, that wasn't right what he did there. That wasn't proper. I don't care. Did you win? And that's what they're going to look at. Can Kelvin Sampson win at the professional level? Now, that's a whole other story unto itself. And in my opinion, no, I don't think Kelvin Sampson can win at the professional level. He may be a good coach. He may be a very good assistant coach at the professional level. I think he had problems of his own dealing with the personalities and all at the college level. What are you going to do when you got multi-million dollars? And he's talking about going to Detroit. That's where the latest rumors have Kelvin Sampson going. That's a team right there that's had all sorts of issues with personalities and not getting along with coaches. So unless he's just one of those great big butt kisses that, you know, that's how he gets along with players and that's how he gets them going. Can he coach in the NBA? Yes. Is it? Do we think it's nauseating? Probably, but it is what the pros are for.
And I would have to agree. And, Tom, I know you're going to be in Iowa next weekend. So hopefully I haven't got this worked out with Brian yet. I have three tickets to the Indiana Pacers draft party, and I'm hoping, and I'm going, and I hope Brian can come down and join me. But we have a place on Facebook, and correct me if I'm wrong. The first fan to get on the Bounces Facebook page and say they want to go to the Pacers draft party is going with me, and hopefully Mr. Brian Scott can make it with us next Thursday to Kosciuszko Fieldhouse for the Indiana Pacers draft party.
We will see what we can see, because we'll also have a show here that Tom's going to be in Iowa, so somebody's going to be back at the Palatial Balance, making sure we can get everything on the air. I tell you what, we've got about five more minutes here. Tom, I'm just going to throw this out really quick because it did start today. The U.S. Open in golf started today. Y.E. Chang, at the last I saw, had the leaderboard at 3 under par. And I'm going to throw to Josh and Tom. I don't know how many people really realize that the U.S. Open started this week, mainly because most people, if they knew anything, they knew Tiger Woods wasn't playing in this. Is a U.S. Open without Tiger Woods pretty much a U.S. Open that most people are really not going to care about?
And that goes to what we were talking about before. I mean, basically, Tiger Woods is the PGA. PGA is Tiger Woods. And so people tune in to watch Tiger Woods. Now, I'm a huge golf fan, and I think that it's going to be a good tournament, a good championship. But, yeah, without Tiger Woods, nobody's watching. Nobody cares. Is that fair? I don't know. Tiger Woods is certainly the Michael Jordan of golf. He's the greatest golfer of all time. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind on that. But I personally think he's a little bit overrated as far as the media presence. But he does draw fans, and he does draw ratings, which, again, sells advertising. So at the end of the day, I guess that Tiger Woods not being there has made a huge impact on the Open. Josh?
I would have to agree, but at the moment, Greg McElroy leads the U.S. Open. But here's an interesting fact you got to consider. And I know I've been called Stat Boy, and Tom has all types of different nicknames for me. The last three majors have ended on Sunday with a young, unproven, relatively unknown golfer choking away the lead. Will we see that Sunday? A young, unknown golfer choke away the lead, or will a young, unproven golfer finally step up, this is going to sound a little political, as the anti-Tiger Woods? Will we finally see somebody emerge who's young, likable, because I can't stand Phil Mickelson, as the anti-Tiger Woods?
But that's the one thing, Josh, I think that the PGA is really going to be looking for. They need somebody to be that. I don't care if it's polarizing or not. Right now, somebody needs a reason. It's kind of like when Greg Norman played all those years ago. I don't know if you like Greg Norman. I don't care if you didn't. You watched it because you just wanted to see if he was going to choke away another major. Right now, what is the compelling reason to watch the PGA Tour? The young kids, they're great. The young up-and-comers, they're fantastic. But as the old saying goes, is when if I don't know who's playing, I'm probably not going to be too keen on watching it. So who is the player out there that he doesn't have to be Tiger Woods, but he's got to make somebody, the average fan, want to watch the PGA?
I would say it's Graham McDowell. Another interesting story is Tiger Woods' caddy. I believe he's working with Graham McDowell this weekend. If Graham McDowell can win the U.S. Open, and I'm sorry, PGA fans, if I'm working with the wrong golfer, if he can win the U.S. Open with Tiger Woods' caddy, is there a possibility Tiger's caddy is going to go, thanks for the memories, bye-bye?
And that would be one of the things, with everything that has happened to Wood, for him to lose longtime caddy, that would probably be the last nail in the coffin. We are about done here with the balance, but don't go away. We are not done. It was RJ Cunningham and Trackside Review Radio is up next. We've got all sorts of great things with RJ coming up. Billy Weiss is expected to join us. USAC driver, also USAC midget drivers, Levi Roberts and Kyle Hamilton. Don't go away. We'll be back right next with Trackside Review.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
It's time to start.
It is time to go from a flying start as we begin Trackside Review Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Midstate Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential cleaning. Get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because they do windows. Also brought to you by All Tune and Lube. They provide quality repairs at great prices. Outstanding is our highest priority. Visit our state-of-the-art facility and let our ASE-trained automotive professionals service your vehicle from basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work. ATL is your one-stop total car care center. Visit them at their two locations at 7920 West 10th Street and 6340 Rockville Road. That's All Tune and Lube. Also brought to you by Sam Pierce Chevrolet. Don't forget their big tent sale is going on this week. Located on State Route 67 in Daleville, Indiana. Give them a call at 765-378-1100. They've got, again, big tent sale going on. You can reach them on the web also at www.sampiercechevy.com. It's my pleasure to bring in the host and chief mechanic, as it would be, Mr. R.J. Cunningham, the host of Trackside Review Radio. And R.J., you and Tom, you're up in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin, getting ready for the Milwaukee 225s this week.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of racing going on this week. There's David Hogg, 25.
I hit the track. I'm trying to get your testing in. The Silvercrest cars have been out earlier. The Star Monsters have been out. And so have the thousand cars. So, it's been a big and busy day. I'm already worn out from walking around this track, even though it's a mountain track. It's still open. And so we had some fun. We've got two guests coming on. One will be the Lee Dye Roberts.
RJ, we're having
a... Okay, RJ, I got you, RJ. I'm sorry, Brian.
We'll have Billy and then Levi Roberts and Kyle Hamilton. Tom, go right ahead.
Yeah, we're sitting right here in the media center at the Milwaukee Mile. And RJ, you might want to just pick up your phone and just call in. I think Skype's messing up with you here in the media center. I don't know what's causing that. So RJ's going to call in on his cell phone. And I'm sitting here with Levi Roberts. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and because we're on a limited headset, Brian, I'm just going to go ahead and hand him my headset, and you guys can start the interview. But we are sitting here with a very, very young, talented driver, and Levi Roberts. Levi, how are you doing today?
Doing great, thank you.
Hi, Levi. Brian, Scott, glad you could join us on Trackside Review Radio. You're up at Milwaukee. Why don't you tell us what you're doing up in Milwaukee this week?
Yeah, we're out here at the Milwaukee Mile all weekend. We have basically 3 days of racing here. We got a little bit of practice today, some qualifying tomorrow, and then races, heat races, and feature on Saturday.
Now, how long have you been racing midgets?
This will be my third full season in the midget, and my my second year running the USAC Mopar National Midget Series.
So a big week up in Milwaukee. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your team and what you've been doing so far this year?
I drive the number 91 car owned by Steve Lewis. It's a Beast with an Esslinger Ford. This is our second race of the season. Our first race of the season we had out at Lucas Oil Raceway Park. We actually had a really good night there. We qualified fourth and ran third in the feature. So we're looking forward to kind of keeping it rolling here at Milwaukee.
Alongside, we have again the host RJ Cunningham is back with us. RJ Levi Roberts is on with us. Why don't you go ahead and talk to the young man?
Well, I would, but he's on the headset there, and now I'm on the phone out mulling around the garage area. You know, it's fun, though, because I love to be able to use the phone and make these conversations and do this show. That's what's so unique about, you know, the way we do this show. You know, we can be in five different places at once, and we can all, you know, be involved, and that makes it nice, and the fans can listen, too. But, Levi, you're driving for a guy that's got some rich heritage in racing. Lewis has, made all kinds of famous people out of racing, and his son's racing too over in Europe. A lot of people don't know that he's one of the people that's put the PRI show together. If you get a ride in one of his cars, you've got the opportunity to make a name for yourself, and obviously you're already doing that. But, have you not run the Milwaukee Mile before, is that correct?
That's correct. This is my first time to the Milwaukee Mile. We've ran Iowa and Phoenix in the past, but the last time USAC visited Milwaukee, I was a little too young to be racing here.
Now Iowa's a high bank track, and this is it's not as flat as what I was told it was. It is very flat, but it's still a very, very high-speed track. So you guys haven't been out. Have you been out to test at all besides just showing up today?
You know, this is the first time I've seen the track was this morning when I showed up. And you're right, it is definitely the flattest mile that we run. You know, we tested Iowa here last Monday, and it's kind of, even though they're both miles, it's kind of like two extremes. Iowa's, you know, higher banked, and you know, you really keep your momentum up. Where here it looks like it's a bigger track that's going to race like a short track.
Right, and I also noticed the track looks quite a bit rougher here than I guess you would say the average track that we've been running on, at least that I've seen. But I'm really looking forward to seeing the cars hit this track. You know, we're watching all the eyes on any cars pull in the Dallara. Or as Tom would call it, the DeLorean company pulling. I have to razz my co-host occasionally. But anyway, you know, you guys always come with a top dog, top notch equipment, and you're one of the many teams. Even though you're driving with Steve Lewis right now, you are one of many that still are looking for funding too. So Steve has talked to me about some aspirations for everybody. Billy Weiss is over there helping out a little bit, and Hamilton's over there running, and you're running. And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, just because Steve has been successful in the past doesn't mean that he still doesn't need funding to be able to do the job correctly. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you out here. You did run a real good race at Raceway Park this past spring. That crowd is huge there. I'm hoping the crowd is just as big here.
Yeah, that was we had a good run out there at Lucas Oil Raceway, and I'm really excited for this week. And I think the fans will enjoy our racing. You know, you get to see the Mazdas and the USF 2000s also race, but I hope the fans will like our USAC racing, the midgets and the Silver Crowns. We do a lot of side by side racing, and the midgets are You'll see the draft come into play a lot with the midgets just because they're smaller and they're short wheelbase. They're just kind of hard to handle. So they're really fun to watch and fun to drive. So I'm excited to get out on the track.
Yeah, the thing I've always liked about the midgets is they're so, from a fan point of view, they're very, very twitchy. They look like they just, you know, turn on less than a dime. And, you know, you can catch it and lose it and catch it and lose it and catch it and lose it and catch it and lose it all through one corner. And it's just so fun watching you guys. You can see them, you know, hit the wheel and you know, even from a distance, you can tell when a guy is working that wheel. And you can't see that in, you know, Star Mazda or the Indy cars or the Indy Lights. And that's what sets your division apart, in my opinion, or your divisions, I should say, in USAC. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're definitely a handful. We just, you know, we don't have the downforce like the other cars that we're running here with the weekend. So you definitely gotta be up on the wheel and be paying attention. Otherwise, you'll get out from underneath you pretty quick.
Yeah, where did you run out in Colorado? Now, yeah, I noticed from your fan card that you brought in the media center, you are from Colorado. So, you know, what possessed you to start running out there? I mean, you're not in the, you know, Indiana area. So what got you started?
Yeah, I just kind of started like local go-kart races when I was younger, about 7 years old. You know, by the time you start getting to 12 or 13, you're kind of looking to do, you know, like a national karting kind of scene. So we did that. And then it kind of just came to the point where we ran out of stuff to race in Colorado, and we went out west and raced in California with the go-karts for a bit. And then I actually jumped in a USAC Ford Focus car there for a year. And then moved out to Indy here last year and just been racing the Midwest with USAC.
Now, do you pretty much stay in Indy and then just go back to visit the folks at home, or
yeah.
Where is your abode?
I'd probably still call Colorado home. I spend about, you know, the off season I definitely spend in Colorado, but while we're in the heart of the race season here, I spend most of my time in Indiana, just because you know, it's really the hub of our racing. You know, we'll race mostly in Indiana, and then obviously up here into Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio. So that's where I spend most of my time during the summer.
Now, you know, many of the drivers that have driven for Steve Lewis in the past have gone from Steve Lewis into NASCAR. So let's just say, this is just my opinion, that the IndyCar series, especially with the new chassis coming on board next year and another new chassis for the Indy Lights program coming on board, I'm of the opinion that the IndyCar program is going to grow leaps and bounds in the next 2 years. That's just my opinion. So knowing, you know, under the present circumstances, where would you like to be racing? I mean, is it just a full-time paycheck, or is it you like to get some little stuff?
You know, the IndyCar is really obviously starting to draw a lot of interest, and there's a lot of spark around it right now. So I think the direction would be to the IndyCar, and we're excited about, you know, the talk of wanting more, you know, American drivers in the series. And I think the opportunity is there, and they're working hard, and we're close to, you know, making that breakthrough here with the road to Indy that we are doing with USAC and IndyCar. So I think it's a great program, and I think you're going to see a lot of good guys come through it. You know, we had Brian Clausen come from USAC here last year and is running the Indy Lights now this weekend. And I think there's an opportunity for some of us other USAC drivers to follow the same path, and you know, I'd love to be able to do that, and to drive for Steve and have the contacts that he has is a huge help. So I'm hoping that, you know, at the end of this season we could, you know, be talking about doing, you know, an Indy Lights or something here in the next year or two would be fantastic.
Great. You know, I'm really looking forward to even watching practice tonight, finally getting up in the stands. I Tom knows this, and everybody that knows me as a fan knows I despise being in the infield because I can't see anything. I want to see, you know, up in the stands. So when you guys get up in practice, I'll be able to get up in the stands. I'm looking forward to seeing that, and obviously I'll be able to see quite a bit of practice and action tomorrow. But like I say, I'm really looking forward to it, and Steve and I and you and everybody else involved, hopefully we'll get together and discuss some future aspirations and so on. But I'm a firm believer after Indy this year that the crowd at Raceway Park was the largest that I personally have seen, I would say, in at least 7 or 8 years. I think that would be an absolute minimum. And I just think that money is starting to loosen up too. We're getting a lot of people that are interested in talking, where in the last 3 years, you know, I pretty much had to put everything I did on the back burner because nobody was interested. And fans, if you are able to listen to the show, and let's say you're in Indianapolis or Kentucky, or, you know, it's not that difficult to get up here. I think we left yesterday evening to come to this track at 7, and I believe we got here about midnight. We missed all the traffic. So I think a lot of it has to do with the time of the day that you decide to go to a race and learn to miss the traffic flow in the normal area. So, hey, head on up here. You'll see some great racing, and the stands are just beautiful. You know, and I think the track is interesting, to say the least. So, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, you guys just have a good time. And we'll talk again later in the year, I'm sure. We can't talk to everybody at once, but I'm sure we'll see you around. So, hey, put Tom back on the phone. Let's see what we got to do from here.
All right. Well, that's Levi. Levi, I thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Good luck practicing and racing tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
When we come back, we're going to talk about more racing as Tom Marquez, R.J. Cunningham, they are at the Milwaukee Mile. You're listening to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com. I want to thank our other fine sponsors, Mid-State Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Make sure you get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message, because unlike others, they do windows, and they do quite a few of them. Also brought to you by Sam Pierce Chevrolet. You can reach them on the web at www.sampiercechevy.com. Located at State Route 67 in Daleville, Indiana. Their phone number is 765-378-1100. They have a big tent sale going on all week, all sorts of great deals on new and used Chevys. That's sampiercechevy.com at State Route 67 in Daleville. Also brought to you by Alltune and Lube. They provide quality repairs at great prices, and delivering outstanding service is their highest priority. Visit their state-of-the-art facility and let their ASE-certified automotive professionals service your vehicle. From basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work, ATL is your one-stop total car care center. Two locations in Indianapolis, one at 7920 West 10th Street, the other at 6340 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. My name's Brian Scott, out in Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Mile. Excuse me, getting ready for the
You're right there, Brian.
Eyes on Indy Cars. Tom Marquez, Editor-Chief R.J. Cunningham. Also on the line, Josh Elmore. We just got off the phone with Levi, or off with the interview with Levi Roberts. And coming up next will be Kyle Hamilton, another USAC midget driver. I bring in my cohorts and all. A big, big week, but not only for the IZOT Indy cars, not only for the Indy Lights, but also for USAC.
And that's right, and this is an exciting track, Brian. It's my first time here at Milwaukee, and I really enjoy it. It's a good old field track, and it just has that old racing feel, and it's really got a lot of nostalgic behind it. And they've been running here around here since 1945, and so the whole city of Milwaukee is glad to have them back. They weren't here last year, and so after a year's absence, back here at the Milwaukee 225, and there's like, and RJ, I think you might be able to know this better than I, but I think there's 7 races in 3 days, or something to that effect. But it's every type of race series that you could possibly imagine to like, that from USAC to the Star Mazda to IndyCar. It's all here all weekend long. And what's great about it is it's Father's Day weekend, and what a better treat for your father than to bring him out here to the Milwaukee 225. And it wasn't a bad drive from Indianapolis, so it's not a bad drive if you guys want to go ahead and come on up for the weekend too as well, RJ.
Yeah, that's true. And tomorrow, just for an example, all the cars go through the Indy Lights Tech at 9 o'clock. Then at 10 to 10:45, the USF 2000 practice. Then from 11 to 11:45, the Star Mazda practice. Then from 12:15 to 1:15, the Silver Crown practice. Then from 1:25 to 2:25, the midget practice. Then 2 o'clock is an Indy driver meeting. Then the IndyCar, IZOT IndyCar practice is at 1. And then from 3 to 5, IndyCar practice. And then they got the two-seater. Man, I tell you, I'd love to get into that. I'm sure you can't fit into it, Tom, but I think I can. And then the USAC, oh, man, I just had to, wasn't that good? I thought that was one of my better ones. 6:30 to 7:30.
Hey, RJ, I have your room key, so, yeah.
Okay.
RJ and Tom, you both have been following a certain driver in the Indy Lights series, David Estella. Tell us how he's looking, or what have you been able to talk to him today?
Well, we
he's not here yet.
They're just pulling in. I mean, they're right now pulling in, so that's what's really cool. We're watching them all pull in and set up. I'm watching the Dallara and the Dollar General's store stuff for set up. Brian Herta just pulled in with his rig, and Bellardi Racing is here, and they're just setting up their tents. We're able to see all that just now starting. It's just so fun, so cool to get this going. So.
Yeah,
and just walked in the media center. I'm going to give him Mark Witz, you know that dude. anyway, he's going to come on in, and they're going to transfer the headset to you, and we'll get him on. But no, it's just so cool. I mean,
RJ. I'm sorry, RJ. We've got a bit of a delay. And Brian, you asked about David Estella, and that's right. RJ, because of our Skype issue, he is outside the media center here. And they are just the Indy Lights rigs and stuff are just pulling in. So we haven't had a chance to sit down and talk with David, but we are very excited about that. We want to make sure that you guys do follow us on TrackSideReview.com. Sitting right here with me is Kyle Hamilton, another very young, talented driver, a teammate of Levi, who we just spoke with a few minutes ago. So, Brian, I'm going to go ahead and transfer the headset to Kyle here, and you and RJ can talk with Kyle real quick here. And I know he's on a limited amount of time; he's got to get into the car. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Kyle Hamilton, join us here on Trackside Review. On the line here, we have Mr. R.J. Cunningham. R.J., take it away.
Well, Kyle, I have a little story that I want to tell you that your father told me. I've met your father, and I saw you start running when, I don't want to say how young you were, but it was quite a bit younger than you are right now. But what is interesting to talk to you, and after meeting your father, I believe, won one of the Legends Car Championships at Anderson Speedway. And I remember him telling me one time that he was he set quick time or something like that up in Anderson one night, and the owner that he had at the time said, okay, let's just pull it on in here and let's put it up on jack stands and we'll pull all the tires off of it. And your father says, well, what do you want me to do? He says, no, I just want you to make it look like you're doing something, but the car is just absolutely perfect right now, so don't really touch anything. But just make it look like you're doing something and make it look like we're making a whole bunch of changes. And I thought that was so funny and so behind the scenes. And, you know, with what you're doing with the midget, I'm positive that doesn't happen that way. when you go out and test, just for an example, what is a typical thing that you have to do when you get done testing? What do you normally do? Now, if you want to kind of hide the truth a little bit and tell me just the opposite of what you do, that would be understandable, you know, but it's up to you you do.
You're talking about whenever we pull out, we get done with the test session and we're back in the pits, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, the first thing we want to check is the tire stagger when the tires are still hot to give us a true reading of what the tires are doing when they're on the track. So that's usually the first thing. And then my car chief, Dave Steele, and I usually go over the setup, you know, how I felt about the car and if I was comfortable with it. So those are the main two things, and then obviously we want to go back over, you know, several of the nuts and bolts, make sure nothing's figured out a way to come loose for the next time we go on the track, but nothing in particular. But, yeah, we don't want to – if the car's good, you sometimes you feel like you have to change something just to change something, but obviously if the car's good, you don't want to mess with it too much.
Right. So now let's just take for the fans that aren't familiar with you, where did you start? And how did you progress in your racing efforts? So
yeah,
I started
racing quarter midgets when I was about 8 years old, and at the Mini Indy Speedway in Indianapolis, and then after that, I made the move up to Kenyon midgets, USAC Kenyon midgets at the time, and then from there, I went to the Ford Focus, and now we finally made it up to the midgets, and I've been really fortunate to have some success and be able to race for a team owner like Steve Lewis here in Milwaukee, and it's just a great opportunity.
Right. Now, I saw you run last year, I believe, at the night before the 500. A lot of people don't know that, you know, I haven't missed an Indy 500 for 42 years in a row. I bought my ticket every year, except for 1 year I did sneak in the trunk of a car when I was about 15, I think, maybe 16. But other than that, I bought all my tickets. You know, I don't particularly like sitting in the pits. I don't like walking in the pits that much, but I do it now because I feel like I can get more fans going to the racetracks to, you know, when I get them to understand what I'm seeing and what they need to be looking for to make the racing more enjoyable. But, you know, with you, I saw you run a fantastic race last year. I believe that was in your folks equipment out there at Raceway Park, and you had something happen at that event. I forget exactly whether you somebody got into you or you had a motor problem, but you were running up front with all the big boys last year, I thought.
Yep. I mean, it takes hard work to get where we are right now, and I mean, in the hard work still has to continue. We put in, you know, several years with our family-owned equipment, and you know, struggled a lot, but we also had, you know, a lot of success and a lot of learning. So now when I come out with a team like Nine Racing, you know, I'm prepared for a lot of the things that are going to be happening. And, you know, I mean, you got to put in the hard work by yourself before you can end up with professionals like Nine Racing.
Right. Now, what do you do, what do you do when you're done racing here? I mean, what are you going to do to prepare for the next race? Do you just go home and live a normal life, or do you work with Steve Lewis and the crew at the garage? And I'm sure you never have to sweep the shop or nothing like that, right?
I try to lead as normal of a life as possible once I get out of the track. Like my dad owns a used car dealership where we still have one car at our car lot that we keep up with that are running the regional series. So I'm working on that car. I'm a distance runner, so I like to run, stay in shape for all these big races. So, I feel like that's really important. And then, obviously, I'm keeping in touch with Nine, making sure the cars are going good there, you know, getting ready for the next one.
Right. So obviously your progression, you'll probably go either NASCAR or, you know, open wheel racing in the eyes of IndyCar series, whichever you prefer. But, you know, don't you believe, though, that no matter what happens in your future, that this is something you'll always remember for the rest of your life and even your kids? And, of course, you're probably too young to even think about girlfriends and all that. I'm sure you don't even think about that. But, I mean, I'm just saying that it is something that it keeps you off the street, keeps you in good health and good spirits. And you need to have Tom. Tell Tom to put him under that running regimen that you're under there. I think that would be a real good thing for him to do. What do you think?
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a great opportunity to look back on no matter what. I mean, because watching the 9 cars at Raceway Park was probably the first race I'd ever went to in my life. So we'd go to all the Thursday Night Thunder races with my family. So this is kind of like the NASCAR for me, honestly, and anything after this would be great. But, yeah, this is a good opportunity, and I'm doing what I've always wanted to do as a kid, so I'm happy.
Kyle Hamilton has been our guest here on Trackside Review Radio. Kyle, best of luck in the races, and we'll look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
All right, when we come back, another interview coming up. Billy Weeds, we're going to hear from him shortly. When we come back, we'll have that. You're listening to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Want to thank some of our other fine sponsors, Midstate Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Make sure you get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave a message because they do windows. They do quite a few of them, as a matter of fact. Also brought to you by Alltune and Lube. They provide quality repairs at great prices, and delivering outstanding service is their highest priority. Visit their state-of-the-art facility and let their ASE-certified trained automotive professionals service your vehicle. From basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work, ATL is your one-stop total car care center. They have two locations in Indianapolis. One is 7920 West 10th Street. The other, 6340 Rockville Road. That's Alltune and Lube. Also brought to you by Sam Pierre Chevrolet at State Road 67 in Daleville, Indiana. You can reach them at 765-378-1100 or on the web at Sam Pierre Chevrolet. At SamPierceChevy.com. They've got a big tent sale going on all week long with the finest deals on both new and used Chevys. That is SamPierceChevy.com. Brian Scott with you alongside Tom Marquez and R.J. Cunningham out at Milwaukee. Also, Josh Elmore on the line. We didn't forget about you, Josh. We just had a lot of people to interview. We are waiting for Billy Weeds. As another USAC driver, we're going to interview. You've heard from Levi Roberts. Just got off the an interview with Kyle Hamilton. And, gentlemen, a lot of USAC stuff going on in Milwaukee as we wait for, as you said, all the big Indy trucks are starting to make their way in.
That's right, Brian. They are lined up. And here's the thing. What's great about this track, unlike Indianapolis, where there's just a lot of avenues and a lot of ways for them to come in, there's one way for them to come in. So it's really kind of, to me, it's neat to see them because they're lined up and they come in one at a time. And obviously the haulers and big rigs that come in that bring these race teams and these IndyCar teams and these Indy Light teams are just, you know, they've got all their team and stuff on the side of the rigs, and it's really a neat sight to watch. It's just like it's a parade of semis, if you will, and moving very slowly. And so they are coming in, and it's been really exciting for us because we've been down here all day long with the USAC guys, and we're staying at the hotel with the USAC team. And it's really a good time to get to know these USAC drivers, like you mentioned, Kyle Hamilton and Levi Roberts. Both of these guys are very, very young, talented drivers. In fact, Levi Roberts came in third place in the night before the 500, which we were down there. And then back even just last year, he had 5 USAC national top tens, 3 USAC regional quick times, 1 new track record, and 2 USAC regional wins, and 4th place in the USAC national midget pavement points. And this is a kid that was just born 1990, Brian. And then over there at Kyle, who just got off the phone, he's getting ready to go to Purdue University in the fall. In 2009, he was a USAC regional midget champion. In 2008, the USAC Indiana and Midwest Ford Focus champion. So these drivers in the USAC division and these Star Mazda drivers are very, very young drivers, and it's a good opportunity to get to know them and get to learn about them, because in a few short years, they're going to be up there in the IndyCar League or the NASCAR League, and they're going to be really the stars of tomorrow, Brian, RJ.
Yeah, it's really cool to watch this, but, hey, I do have a small complaint. Whatever happened to Josh and his prediction? I mean, I kind of missed that. I he should be on the line, you know, with his normal prediction. I want
right here,
to pick one as good as Scott Speed. Now, can you top that one? Can you top that Scott Speed pick? You know, Josh, it's funny because, you know, I know about as much about baseball, basketball, and football as you do about racing, but it makes it interesting because you know as well as I do, I've pulled you into the sport, and you know as well as I know as well as you do that you've pulled me into the other sports as well, and that's why this show works so well for us. And you know, we're doing a crossover show, as I guess you might say. So, what's on your mind?
I'm really happy, and hopefully you guys can come up with an interview. I read a great piece in the USA Today about Oral Servia, how he's with Newman Haas Lanigan, and he has that team to 4th place in the Indy Car Series. But I want to wish good luck to Shannon McIntosh and Zach Veach and the rest of the USF 2000 Series. And RJ is right. I didn't know that much about USAC before RJ took me out to the 90 for the 500. But if you're in Milwaukee listening, or you can drive to Milwaukee this weekend, if you don't go see USAC racing, you're missing out. It's the most exciting form of racing I watch. Now, I'm a diehard IndyCar fan. I'm so on NASCAR. But I love USAC, and it's a great race. I remember watching Levi Roberts finish third at the night before the 500. It's a great time. I really wish I could see him up in Milwaukee, but work obligations made that impossible. So go out to the race this weekend.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your thoughts. And you know what? It really is cool, and I'm hoping the crowd is huge. It should be huge. I mean, really, you know, for Indianapolis, it's not. It does not take that far or that long to get here, and you know, I prefer driving at night myself, early evening, right after rush hour, and then just take off. It was so nice, so easy. Even though it was a bad thunderstorm going through South. Where were we?
Gary's where we're at. go ahead, Brian.
Fun.
Well, we've got, of course, Tom Marquez, RJ Cunningham, Josh Elmore on the line. We're hoping Billy Weeds will be able to call in. You guys are up in Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Mile for the Milwaukee 225s. We just finished in Texas with the Twin Texas races. And actually, I think we have Billy Weeds on the line now. Hold that thought. Billy, is that you?
Hello?
Hey, Billy Weeze?
Nope, Steve, Statman Steve.
Well, it's Statman Steve. You see, we don't have phone numbers. I don't have that. Statman Steve is on the line. How you doing, Steve?
No, he was
all
calling
right,
in.
How you doing, Brian? Tom, RJ, how's the weather up in Milwaukee?
Hey, it's pretty good, but your camera, we can't get your camera to work.
Did you guys break that thing already?
Well, we hope not.
I hope not, too. No,
man, what do you expect?
Oh, okay. Yeah, now, oh, everybody just hold this thought for just 1 second, because I do believe we now have Billy Weeze. Billy Weeze?
Yeah.
Billy Brian Scott with Trackside Review Radio. We've got a cast of characters, but I'm going to turn you right over to our main man, R.J. Cunningham. R.J.?
Hey, Billy, this is nice to talk to you, but it was really earlier nice to talk to you because you were one of the people early in my career in motorsports. You recall that I wanted to form a motorsports company like a sports agency, and you were one of the drivers that I wanted to help. And specifically, I was very impressed with your driving style and, you know, what went on. I knew you were signed by Roger Penske, and I want you to – I know you've already done this on a digital recorder, but I want you to re-explain to me what happened with that, you know, program and what you're doing now briefly, and then we'll go back into the show. Yeah, I mean – yeah, you held me there for a long time, and you know, I was running the midget stuff for my dad, and I got a lucky break and got a test with Penske Racing, and then I got hired to do the driver development for them from 2005 to 2008, and I was their test driver and development driver, and you know, the deal ended at the end of 2008 due to financial deals. You know, we didn't have a sponsor and just things weren't lining up to go to the next level. So, you know, now I'm trying to get back to the roots and race USAC stuff, and I'm helping Steve Lewis with their driver coaching and helping them out, and that's what I'm doing.
Right. And Billy, I told you earlier today that my original intention of being a sports marketing company for racing was still there. It just like your racing went away in 2008, my magazine went away, and it's back. I'm going to bring your racing, you know, back to where it once was, and we already have a goal in mind financially of where you need to be. And I told Steve Lewis, and I told Brian Scott, and I told, you know, all the guys that work with us, you know, when the racing season is nearing a close, the phones will start burning, and I mean burning heavily, because I'm going to go for the throat. And, you know, I've got your contact number again. Now I know a little bit more of the history, and so do the 20 gazillion other fans out there. And remember, fans, this is archived. Billy Weeze is around, and Billy Weeze is still staying involved, and he's still helping other guys, even though he can't race, you know, the way he once did. And just like many other families in racing, his family funded the deal, got him to the level that he needed to be. And that, you know, and all it took was an economy to stay strong when Billy was signed with Roger Penske, and he'd probably be, you know, another Rick Mears, in my opinion. And I was really, you know, disappointed. I was, you know, excited for you when you got the contract, and disappointed when I didn't see anything happen. And, you know, it's just the luck of the economy, you know. That's about all I can say. And I appreciate your time. I wanted the fans to be able to hear, you know, my thoughts and your thoughts and your family. You tell them that the sports agency for racing is back. And, you know, so you just hang in there. And, you know, we can't make any promises, but I can sure – I told Steve Lewis earlier today, we just had the lunch together right across from each other, and I said – I know how to burn up a phone line, buddy, let me tell you. So, I'll take what we're going to do.
Hey, Bill, are you doing any driving at all?
Yeah, I'm actually racing. I'll be racing here in 2 weeks at Toledo Speedway in a USAC sprint car, and then the next week after that at ORP for the next.
For the Thursday Night Thunder Series?
Uh-huh, yep.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be there for that.
And we're, you know, I'm also working on, you know, trying to put some stuff together, you know, with Steve here to, you know, try to get Turkey Night and maybe the next national
midget race at ORP. So
right.
We're working diligently on that, and we're just trying to make it all happen, trying to make it all come together.
Now, does your family still have any of the equipment?
No, my family's we sold everything a long time ago, and my dad's been really focusing on get the business back to where it should be, and you know, things kind of went sour in the masonry business there for a little bit, but starting to come around, and we're starting to do a little better now.
Okay. One of you other guys can talk. I'm jibber-jabbered enough.
Billy, thank you for joining us here on Trackside Review Radio. Best of luck, and we'll be following you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for calling me.
Well, we
thank
come,
you, Billy. Have a good night.
We're going to take the final pit stop and get ready for, what's going on in Milwaukee? Some final thoughts. We got a whole crew here. You don't dare want to go away. You're listening to Trackside Review Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome back to Trackside Review Radio Style on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank our other fine sponsors, Midstay Window Cleaning. They offer both commercial and residential window cleaning. Get your quote today at 317-852-8712. That's 317-852-8712. Make sure you leave them a message because they do windows, and they do quite a few of them. Also brought to you by Sam Pierce Chevrolet. Chevrolet at sampiercechevy.com. They're located at State Route 67 in Daleville, Indiana. You can give them a call at 765-378-1100. Make sure you stop by. They're just across from the Taco Bell on State Road 67. Can't miss it. They have the big old tent sale this week. All sorts of new and used Chevys. That's www.sampiercechevy.com. And also brought to you by Alltune and Lube. They provide quality repairs at great prices. Delivering outstanding service is their highest priority. Visit the state-of-the-art facility and let their ASE-certified automotive professionals service your vehicle. From basic oil changes to the most complicated engine repair and transmission work, ATL is your one-stop total car care center. Two locations in Indianapolis, one at 7920 West 10th Street and the other at 340 Rockville Road in Indianapolis. That's Alltune and Lube. Full house here. We have Mr. Tom Cunningham at the Milwaukee Mound. Miles and Steve, as we go into the final home sprint, as it would be here on Trackside Review Radio. Talk to you today. What do you know lately? Where have you been out about?
You talking to me, Brian?
Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I was at Raceway Park last Sunday. Me and RJ was out there for about 9 hours watching some real good stock car racing. Late model, sportsman, stock car. I don't think I'm going to do anything this weekend, but watch it on TV. But next weekend I'm probably going to be down to Bloomington.
Yeah, this is RJ here. Hey, Steve, we did have a good time. We had a great time, and your camera worked absolutely impeccably there. But you might want to kill RJ and Tom if you come back and your camera is not working. Probably the reason you can't go racing is twofold this year or this week. Number one,
I think I know what happened. I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay, well, you probably, you know, need to stay home for the wife, too. I mean, we've been gone quite a bit. We all have, really, during the month of May. And, you know, racing season. But, you know, hey, Jensen just pulled in, guys. So I just now see their rig. They're just now here. So, you know, getting back to what we did at Raceway Park, you know, Aaron Pierce ran a great race. And
sure,
you know, he was moving up the pack. And one of the ladies was running great. And you know, there was a couple, maybe 2,500 fans there, maybe 3,000, I don't know. But really, there should have been 5,000, 6,000, 7,000
right.
fans there.
Right, they should have been,
and
right.
The whole objective of Trackside Review is to bring more money and more fans into the sport. And you know, there should have been a lot more there. And hopefully, you know, there might be a few hundred that are listening to the show.
It was $16, RJ. That's a steal for the racing we saw. It was only $16 to get in the gate.
I mean,
really?
You know, here you got seven races, seven different divisions of racing, you know, this is a fantastic deal. It's time for people to understand. You have an exception to the rule because you've been gone so many weekends. But, I mean,
right.
You know, in a nutshell, you know, get off your butts and come to the racetrack. I mean, it's fun. You know, wintertime's over, even up here, and so it's time to go racing. But
lovely wife is so nice because she lets me go to these races every weekend and doesn't give me any problem at all. So I hope in the future that continues as she sits next to me in the car giving me a dirty look.
I knew that was going to be my next question, Steve. I knew that she was sitting there next to you. Well, hey, guys, we are down here at the Milwaukee Mile in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the heart of Milwaukee. In fact, we're at the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds, which is where this track is located. And like I was saying earlier, this track has a lot of history. And everybody who has been anybody in IndyCar has raced right here at the Milwaukee Mile. A.J. Foyt, Al Unser, Mario Andretti have all raced right here at the Milwaukee Mile. It's a great racetrack. If you're within driving distance, I would encourage you to just drive on out here. Have a good Father's Day weekend. It's going to be a great race, and it's really got that old track feel. So, really, there's not a bad seat in the house. I've been all over this track today, and I tell you what, it is. You can see the whole track and have a great time. And these are IndyCar races, as well as USAC Star Mazda and USAC Midgets, and, of course, the Indy Light Series. And we're talking a little bit about Team Jensen and Jensen Motorsports with David Ostella. What a talented young rookie David Ostella is out of Canada. And we have been following him here with Trackside Review, and we got a couple more races that we're going to be following. Of course, we're going to be up there in Iowa with him next weekend. And we're really, really excited to have them. They couldn't get here in time to have him on the show today, and he just got such a busy schedule, as you can imagine, guys. But David is really one of the up-and-coming stars in the Indy Lights Series. And so it's really exciting to see him. And like RJ said, they are just pulling in right now. Now, Brian, I know that you're back there in the Plus Balance Studios there, and you're in the nice air conditioning studio, and you've got all the look of everything. What are you seeing coming out of the Milwaukee 225 on the IndyCar? What are the things that the fans need to look for, and what do you think is going to be the keys to this race, Brian?
Well, I mean, the only thing that I could see in my vast racing experience so far is who's going to stop Ganassi's boy. Dario Franchitti came out of Texas winning the first. Will Power wins the second. And Franchitti, not all that happy about how he had to start the second. He thought he had a good shot to win that second race as well. But Ganassi has been strong all month, all year. They had good shots at Indianapolis. They've had good shots all year long. So, you know, as far as 225, Yeah, who's going to stop the Ganassi boys?
Well, and I tell you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Here's the thing. I don't know. I mean, this could be a Ganassi race, like you said. It'd be great to see some of the other drivers come out of it, but it does look like this is going to be a strong race for them. They are getting set up. They are definitely here, and they are definitely ready to race in Milwaukee. And so I think you're right, Brian. Ganassi is going to have a good showing, and they're here. They're ready to go. And if the sign at all says that the early bird gets the worm, well, those guys have plenty of worms, Brian.
You know, if I can jump in here for a minute, for 70 years they raced at Milwaukee right after the Indy 500. This is just a few years they've done it the second week or third week after Indianapolis. But usually before the Indy 500 winner usually always goes up and wins that race. But I don't believe Mr. Weldon has a ride up there, does he not, Tom and RJ?
He does not have a ride at the moment.
Right, so there's no way we can have a repeat winner from Indianapolis and Milwaukee, and that's a shame because he's a great driver.
Josh, what do you think about what they're about to run up there in Milwaukee?
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and call something. I've seen it coming for a few weeks. She looked strong in Indianapolis.
Yes,
Danica Patrick has motivation, and Danica Patrick will prove Tom wrong. And that, if you want to go back and listen to an archive show, these words have come out of Tom's mouth. She is a money machine. She is not a driver. She will win at Milwaukee and prove that she can indeed drive on any course, on any type of race in the world.
I hope you're right about that, Josh, because here's the thing, and those of you that are listening on the radio, I know cannot see this, but like I said, I have been all over this track today, and one of the things that RJ and I did is we took a lap around the back part of the track, and on the back wall of the track, as far as you can see, is the GoDaddy logo, the GoDaddy green. It's painted GoDaddy almost on that whole stretch of the back wall, and as you watch it on TV, you'll see what I'm talking about. So let's hope that brings her some good luck. I do not believe that this is the race for Danica. I think that this track is too small for Danica. I think it's going to get too crowded for Danica. In fact, I think Danica is going to be one of the early ones to wreck on Sunday, Brian.
I'm not sure that Milwaukee.
Mr. Cunningham, you're the voice of reason out here. What's your
thought? You know what? Normally, I think Josh is just way, way, way out there in left field, and that's probably why he doesn't do real good in predictions. But you know what? This is my thoughts on that. Andretti, he's got a new engineer, and you know, this does look like a GoDaddy track, and you know, I don't know. I mean, he kind of catches me off guard every once in a while because he says something that. At one point, yeah, it does have some sense, but another point, it doesn't have any sense. And, you know, the thing is,
right.
Now, if you were a NASCAR person and you were getting ready to jump ship, they'd put you in the fence. Now, in an IndyCar program, they can't really do that. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, but I do like the thought that, you know, it would be nice for her to prove that she's capable. I've always thought she's capable.
Hey, RJ, guys, I want to interrupt real quick. Coming in here to the media center, we had a chance to talk with him over there at Fridays, and he's only got about 2 minutes because he's got to get out there because they're getting ready to fire up. We got Tim Spillman here with USAC, the USAC chaplain. What a great guy he is, and he made the road trip with me and RJ, and it's been good having him with us, and he's actually sharing a magnificent suite with us. But what I want to do is put him on real quick, Brian, and I just want to let him kind of summarize what's going on here with USAC. So we only do have just a few more minutes, and I know that they're getting ready to fire up. Tim, how you doing?
We're doing just great.
Hi, Tim. How you doing? It's Steve.
Yeah, we're doing great, Steve. How are you?
Fine. Just anxious to hear about Milwaukee this weekend when you get back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a great show. I mean, we have already had the Silver Crowns practice today. And then we're getting ready right now. We're getting ready right now to start with the midget practicing, and we're really looking forward to a fantastic weekend. Good. We'll practice and qualify tomorrow, and then we'll race about 6:30 on Saturday night. So it's still going to be exciting.
The midgets go first at 6:30, or the Silver Crown?
Yes, the midgets will go first, and they'll run. I believe they're running either 25 or 30 laps. I believe it's 25,
right.
And then the Silver Crowns will race 100.
Tim, I hate to stop you there, but we are out of time. Appreciate you getting on here. For Tom Marquez, R.J. Cunningham, Chief Editor of Trackside Review, Statman Steve Johnson, Josh Elmore, my name's Brian Scott. Thank you for listening to Trackside Review. Don't forget, you can listen to our talk anytime you want at blogtalkradio.com. Until next Thursday, we'll see you again.